Hello and welcome to the Monocle Culture Show. I'm Henry Rhys Sheridan, standing in for Robert Bound. Today we're celebrating the 100th edition of Now That's What I Call Music, looking back at the 35-year history of the pop compilation album series. Joining me on the programme today are Peter Robinson, founder of Pop Justice and former writer for esteemed music titles such as Smash Hits and the NME, and Rob Copsey, editor of the official charts here in the UK.
I mean, now that's what I call music. Right, that's the name of the album, right? And listen, it's 30 of the year's Fabruniest hits.
Now That's What I Call Music was the brainchild of Stephen Navin and John Webster from Virgin Records back in the early 80s. They teamed up with Virgin's managing director Simon Draper and Peter Jameson, who was the head of EMI. The first edition of Now was released on the 28th of November 1983, bringing together 30 of the year's biggest hits on double vinyl or cassette. Though compilations weren't unheard of, this was the first time two different record labels had collaborated on one. Later on, Universal joined the club, adding even more clout to the franchise.
It's Now 30 with the massive number one from Cher, Chrissie Hynde and Nena Cherry. Mike and the Mechanics, Freak Power, E17 and Boys...
The Now series proved to be a huge commercial triumph. Three Now records are released each year, and the track list has grown over the years to over 40 tracks. There's plenty of room for variety then, but the albums never stray far from their guiding principle of unabashed pop glee.
It's back, and it's bigger than ever. Now 50, with the massive number ones from Blue and Westlife. 44 of the biggest hits around, with five...
Last week, the 100th edition of Now That's What I Call Music was released. The first half of this landmark album will be devoted to new releases from this year, but the second half will take listeners on a nostalgia trip through hits from the past 35 years of Now That's What I Call Music. Peter and Rob, welcome to the programme. And Rob, I'm going to begin with you. Since the first Now compilation was released in 1983, 98 out of the 99 albums have reached the UK number one spot. Obviously, in that time, the music industry has gone through phenomenal changes in almost every respect. How and why has the Now series remained the unmoved mover?
I mean, what a fantastic stat to have at hand, isn't it, for the Now albums? They're essentially an encyclopedia of pop, what's popular over that last few months. It's something that the casual pop fan can enjoy. I think that's the main thing about it, really, is that people just enjoy the latest hits and that's what they want to hear.
Well, it's interesting that the first Now album not to get to number one was, I think, Now 5, and that was the one that was released around the same time as the first Hits album. Now, the Hits album was a series which was set up by a competing record label in the 80s, and they were like, oh, Now's doing quite well, what should we do to ruin that? So they set up a rival, and they happened to have better songs, and they did better in that one. So I think it was Now 5 that didn't go to number one. So then Now That's What I Call Music bucked its ideas up and got rid of the pig on the sleeve and just tried to take it a little bit more seriously. But I think, apart from the fact that they've got loads of hits on and stuff, I suppose it's a lot of purchasing logic that a lot of us follow. It's value for money and ease, and you know, for a lot of people now, it's based on what our parents did as well. And I think if we go around a supermarket, any of us now, a lot of what we'll get off the shelf is from a brand that we trust and grow up with. And I think that's the same with the Now albums. The difference now, I guess, is that the value for money thing has sort of fallen out of it slightly, because music's free and a Now album is 10 quid.
Robert, if you had to describe what a Now compilation is to an alien who had zero familiarity with Western pop music, how would you do it?
Well, actually, I think it's the thing you could give to an alien is the entire Now 100 series and just say, here's what you need to know about music in Britain over the last, well, since 1983. Yeah, it's essentially what it is, isn't it? It's just an encyclopedia of pop. These are the current hits of the time. There's absolutely no kind of prejudice to it. It's the good, the bad, the ugly, all on one CD.
Coming off the back of that, Peter, I wonder, to what extent do you think the Now series reflects the zeitgeist? And to what extent do you think that it actually shapes the zeitgeist?
Before I go on to that, I was just imagining this alien going back through the cosmos, spreading word of pop music and all the interplanetary life, having no idea that Madonna even existed. That's quite a strange one, isn't it? Madonna hasn't appeared on a Now album.
I think that's a licensing.
It is a licensing thing. I don't think she's been excluded on terms of on grounds of quality, particularly.
She's had no hits.
That would be quite funny. It holds up fairly well, I reckon, in that if you go into the Now albums from the sort of mid-90s, it's full of Britpop, for instance. But it is strange. I did an exercise last week where I went through every track listing of every Now album and made my own playlist, a 100-song playlist of the best song from every Now album. And it's only doing that when you realise how how bad some of the track listings are. And it's really weird. You'd think, oh, well, you know, you reach a certain age, then pop music doesn't have its appeal. But it would change from year to year. And then it would go back again. Or there'd just be like a blip where like Now 33 was quite rubbish. But the next one, there'd be five amazing songs on it. Think of the two discs, whether it's vinyl discs or compact discs. They both start off quite well. First 10 tracks, those are your bangers.
Yeah.
Because those, I guess, are the ones that when you take it off a shelf, you sort of, you look at the top, don't you? Because it's in two columns. So you look at the tops of both columns. And I guess they've traded quite well on people not examining too closely what's happening at the bottom of each side, because there is some absolute rubbish on every single Now album. I know we're celebrating Now at the moment, but I think, you know, somebody has to stand up here and just speak some truth about this. It's been going on. No one's talking about it. Come on, let's blow the lid off this.
Well, yeah, touching on what you said, I think it is a mirror of what people have been listening to. I don't think it's really shaped how people listen to music. I think it is more of a reflection of that period. I don't think it's particularly informed people's music choices for the future. Although having said that, when I was younger, I did use some Now albums as a kind of discovery tool. It's an album that you could just leave on. So inevitably you got to songs that you'd never normally listen to. So it kind of was a little bit, I suppose.
One thing that I'm fascinated by, and this kind of touches upon the question of the process of selection, the kind of human algorithm that throws out the Now albums, right? In the era of Spotify recommended playlists, which I found to be, in many instances, eerily predictive of my tastes and what I'm into. I mean, it really is a kind of a remarkable product that they've come up with. Wherein lies the appeal of a pop compilation album, which is still put together by three middle-aged music industry professionals? Why would anyone be interested in that?
Nothing wrong with middle age.
Yeah. You take my point, though, about...
I take your point, absolutely.
And why is the method still...
And I should also, you know, I probably shouldn't say this as a professional music journalist myself, but, you know, Spotify's algorithms, in terms of what it throws up and thinks you might like, are doing me and a lot of other music journalists who have spent a long time recommending music to people sort of out of a job slightly. I mean, Spotify gets exactly what my music tastes are, throws up things that I haven't heard of, and it does that for people who previously read my work in various publications that are now no longer around. But I don't know. I wonder where the Now thing really ends.
When the wheels fall off.
It kind of, because there's the habit, isn't there? And there's that stat about, I was looking through some data from a fairly recent about how Now albums are so frequently bought as presents for people. And it's, you know, sort of the general kind of aunts and uncles market, I guess, who when it gets to Christmas are like, well, my teenage acquaintance, that sounds strange, my teenage relative enjoys music, so I'm going to get the Now album because that's what I had and it was amazing. And I wonder how many teenagers are very happy with a CD. Probably be happy with the vinyl, actually, these days, strangely. So what happens when those teenagers hit the point when they are buying presents? What happens to that present market? Because they're not going to be buying CDs anymore. So I wonder what will happen to the Now brand then. And the Now brand isn't huge on streaming services. If you look at, like, Spotify has its own curated playlist of, you know, today's top hits or whatever. Tens of millions of people following those. The same can't be said for Now. So whether the Now brand has the clout on streaming services that it did in Woolworths remains to be seen. But it doesn't actually. It's not. It doesn't. Sorry.
Yeah, not to just throw a massive bucket of cold water. That's okay. Rob, you know, coming to this question of kind of media, shifting media, and this form of the compilation album kind of imposed from above, it's true that it isn't doing as well in streaming as it did in kind of physical format, but it has adapted, you know, to an extent. I think that it's fair to say that while it's true, Peter, what you said, that it's not doing as well, you would have expected the final nail to have been put in the coffin long before now, and it's carrying on. There's some impulse which makes people, you know, carry on coming back to it. Is this just a question of time, though, until it eventually demises?
It's so hard to predict what's going to happen because, you know, there was a time when we all thought downloads were the one, and that's where this all ends, and streaming's taken over. Yeah. I think for now, you know, it's easy for us to say as journalists that we don't really necessarily need it so much as a curation tool, but I think it serves a really good purpose for lazy, sort of just Joe Blogs music type, like just music fans, casual music fans who don't really know what they like and now decides for them. And I think that's what it's for. And it's quite a powerful brand still for that.
And that's a very good point as well, actually, because obviously if you were buying three or four singles a week or something back in the day, then you probably wouldn't need a Now album because you'd have everything you wanted. But I guess the appeal of the Now albums was for people who, you know, couldn't afford or weren't as invested in music as people who were buying all these singles. And I suppose if you don't think you want to be paying 10 quid a month for Spotify because there's too much music and it's too confusing and you just like music you've heard on the radio or whatever, then Now is still good value. If it's, you know, 10 quid every 3 months rather than 10 quid every month.
Talking about Joe Blogs and his taste in music, I want to talk about the Now compilations and the question of taste. Peter, do they reflect good taste? To what extent do they hew to pop cultural critical orthodoxy? Where do they sit on the taste spectrum?
Well, one of the things that annoys me most when I interview artists is when we talk about whether they make pop music or not. And they go, well, I suppose if you think of pop as popular, then yeah, I'm a pop artist. And I kind of think, well, that's not what I'm thinking, because pop music, you know, does have its own aesthetic. And when you say pop music or pop star, everyone sort of knows what you mean. And they go, oh, yeah, the Beatles were pop. And it's sort of like they were, actually, but equally, they're not a pop band now. Anyway, is a Now album, is it good? Well, if you want to argue that everything has a merit, that's a very nice way to go through life. Most things don't. 99% of music is terrible. 3/4 of music that's successful is terrible. But on every Now album, there's good stuff. That's my thought on that.
Rob, what do you think?
I think it's just completely non-discriminatory. It is just reflecting the hits of that time. And they are fairly tied up in the charts. I mean, like a Now tracklist was usually put together by where the songs charted was the primary function until... Well, they still are now, but a lot more factors come into play.
I was talking to one of the compilers of Now a month or so ago, and they were saying that on Now 99, they included Kylie. And it's like, well, everyone knows who Kylie is. I'm talking about the proper Kylie now, not the almost billionaire Kylie. And they were saying, yeah, she's perfect for the brand, so we put her on. But equally, that single that they put on of hers got to, what was it, 38? It was the worst performing comeback single of her entire career and stuff. So if you were just to take it in terms of, you know, has this been a hit or something, then no, she shouldn't be on it. But equally, it makes sense that she should be on it. But it's interesting to see how they're sort of twisting the rules slightly to just make sure they get it right for the people who they know are still buying the CDs.
Yeah.
Before we move on, it is worth touching upon the album art, which has become synonymous with the Now brand. I've got some images here of all of the Now album covers from the past 35 years. You'll notice that Now 20 is the first one to feature the kind of three-dimensional logo graphic, which has now become a calling card. Peter, do you want to attempt to describe that aesthetic?
I think actually one of the people who commissioned it originally said the idea was that it was going to be like a 20th century Fox kind of thing, a really sort of iconic 3D, da-da, here's your pop music sort of stuff. But it's interesting how, since just before that point when all the 3D stuff happened, there's this period when it went a little bit ravey. I think they thought, oh, dance music's happened here. So there's a few that are sort of pixelated as if, ooh, we just got an Amiga 500 and we're gonna make an artwork out of that. But I think someone said that it took days or even weeks to render the original 3D graphic because it was so advanced at the time. I guess they could probably do it on their iPhones these days. Rob, have a look, see what you think.
Yeah, I saw the company tweeting about it. They said it took days to make that first one. It does look really good, I think, that one. It's one of the better ones.
Well, they haven't updated it much since, have they, really? They've added, they kind of made it more lurid, but they haven't actually fundamentally changed the way it looks.
I think they'd realise that that iconography is as important part of the brand as the Now title or as Mark Goodyear doing the voiceover on TV. I guess they've sort of realised that these are the touch points that we need to hit with every album.
Definitely. I think the logo is great. I do think, going forward, personally, maybe just touch down the loudness of some of the covers.
What colour would you go for, Rob, for the next one?
I really like these Now 20s ones that are very kind of just two or three colours, not 25.
They have got awfully busy. Well, maybe if the makers are listening, they can take your tip to heart. Now 101 can have a minimalist cover. And we're going to discuss our favourite Now compilations in just a second. First of all, though, we asked a few people in the Monocle office which one they were most fond of. Here are some of their answers.
I'm Daphne, I'm 27. Now 50, I'd have to say, which I remember featured Britney Spears, Destiny's Child, Groove Armada, but I think my favourite was track number one, which was Can't Get You Out of My Head by Kylie Minogue. And I remember with my sister, we had a choreography to that, so we were very proud of it.
I'm Augustin Macellari, I'm 28 years old, and my first and only Now album came out in 1999. And I used to play it in my bedroom, and every night before I went to sleep, I would listen to I'm Blue, Dabba Dee, Dabba Die by Eiffel 65.
Yo, listen up, here's the story about a little guy that lives in a blue world.
In retrospect, I now realise that Drinking in LA by Brand Van 3000 was also on that album, and I had slightly more sophisticated taste, that might have been the song that I'd have chosen.
Hi, I'm Fernando Augusto Pacheco, I'm Monocle's 24 associate producer, and I'm 32 years old. I'm feeling very 1993, so my favorite now is the 24th one, which was a mixture of a lot of kind of cheesy reggae, which I quite like Informer by Snow and Oh Carolina by Shaggy, but also some classic dance songs like Sweet Harmony by The Beloved.
My name's Holly and I'm 30 years old. I was a huge fan of the Now albums in the kind of mid to late 90s, and I think the first one I ever got was Now 35, which came out in 1996, just before my 9th birthday. It opens with Say You'll Be There by the Spice Girls, but I think I listened to that tape so much that I knew the words to every single song off it. We've got everything from Fast Love by George Michael to Say A Vida A by Pet Shop Boys, You're Gorgeous by Baby Bird, If It Makes You Happy by Sheryl Crow, and obviously a Lighthouse Family song, because they all had a Lighthouse Family song on for a while. I always associate getting a Now album with Christmas, and my older cousins used to look at the track listing and pick out all the tracks by Radiohead and the sort of bands that I would then grow to love when I was in my late teens. I just figured they didn't know anything about music.
I think it was earlier. I can't actually find which one it was. I hope it wasn't one.
My name's Tom Edwards. I'm the executive producer of Monocle 24. Well, this is an interesting story. I thought it was Now 5, and I checked the track listings, and in fact, I'm even more superannuated than I thought, and it's Now 1. And the reason I can remember this is because we listened to it in our car when I was a kid. I was 5, in case you're interested, and I identified that this was the first one because it contained Too Shy by Kajagoogoo.
A big favourite song of yours as a kid?
As a kid, and I feel it's informed my whole life from that day until this one, Holly.
Various Monocle staff members there telling us about their favourite, now that's what I call music, compilation albums. Now I'm going to hear about the favourite albums of my two guests. Rob, we'll come to you first.
Okay.
What's your favourite, now that's what I call music, album?
It was Now 39, which came out in April 98.
It's Now 39, over 40 of the biggest hits around with Robbie Williams and Natalie Imbruglia.
now 39 with the number ones from Corner Shop and All Saints.
For starters, the artwork is pretty good for Now, which is something I was obsessed with anyway growing up. And I was a proper pop kid. So it had, well, track one, side one, is All Saints, Never Ever. Great track. But Lighthouse Family, High, Spice Girls, Stop, Natalie Imbruglia, Torn, Billy Myers, Kiss the Rain, The Verve, Lucky Man, Shania Twain, You're Still the One. Had a really good mix of stuff on. As some of the staff said, I had to wait for Christmas or birthdays for these albums. So my Now albums are between Now 39 and Now 49. Bizarrely, those are the ones I will have. That's when I started.
Oh, so you have a solid,
ten. Yes.
I was just about to say a solid decade, but of course three are released per year.
Yeah.
So it'll be slightly less than that, won't it? But this is what strikes me at looking through this track list. There are some more, I would say, critically acclaimed artists on here than one might expect from the Now series. Pulp is in there with This Is Hardcore. Radiohead is in there with No Surprises. These kind of things, Peter, they do sneak in there once in a while, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I wonder if there was a point when Radiohead started deciding that actually, no thanks, they didn't want to be on a Now album. Because I think like Creep was on one of the Now albums. Mm. And I guess at that point, EMI would have just said, well, you've had a hit, you're going on, lads. And I suppose there would have been a point when Tom was sort of saying, wow, I'm not sure about this. But yeah, you're right, that things do creep on. And sometimes that's just down to economics of the label going, you haven't recouped on this album. If we put you on a Now album, you would be 50 grand up. So I think you should probably do it. And then the band might go, all right.
Peter, what about yours?
Well, with respect to everyone who's contributed so far, they're all wrong. The best album on the Now series is Now 11. And that is official, just because the songs are best.
Now 11, featuring the Pet Shop Boys. Wet, 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 Mel and Kim, Belinda Carlisle.
It is a really good one.
It is a good one, right?
Oh, so you're also familiar with Now 11?
Yes.
Okay.
It's iconic.
Tell me about some of... What are we dealing with here?
What we're dealing with... Well, it starts with Always On My Mind by the Pet Shop Boys. Absolute banger. Heaven Is A Place On Earth is track two. That's also quite good. Billy Ocean, Get Out Of My Dreams, Get Into My Car. I mean, that's the first quarter of an hour of Wedding Disco sorted out immediately, isn't it?
Morrissey's on there.
What's really... Yeah, Morrissey's on there. What's
remarkably.
What's really confusing, and I don't think I grasped when I was 11, I don't think I grasped how confusing it is, but there's old stuff on it as well. So as well as like Pet Shop Boys covering a 10-year-old Elvis song and stuff, Eddie Cochran's Come On Everybody is on it. There's a live version of Candle in the Wind on there. I think I just assumed that all pop music happened at the same time, and I didn't really understand that the Eddie Cochran track was there because it had been on a TV ad and all that sort of stuff. But it's a really interesting track listing, I think, because it gives a real overview of like the past of pop music and the present of pop music, and then it gets on to CD2. Would have been... there were CDs then, but I had it on vinyl. But it gets on to... on the second disc and the second half of that, and it's sort of looking towards the future of music as well. It's got a lot of electronic stuff, a lot of sampling in there and things like that. So it feels like it's sort of... So it came out in 87, so I guess it was at that point when more drum machines were being used and more samples were being used. And I wonder if... I'm just looking at Stutter Rap, No Sleep Till Bedtime by Morris Minor and the Majors. I don't know if that's one of the... Might be one of the first rap tracks to appear on... Actually, no, Rocksteady Crew were on the first one, weren't they?
I'm still getting over you calling Heaven Is A Place On Earth just quite good.
I mean, it is quite...
Better than that.
I mean, it's no Leave A Light On, is it?
No, that's true.
One thing that struck me listening both to the favourite album selected by my colleagues, and also I presume this is the case with you two as well, is that people will select albums that came out when they were young, very young for the most part, normally, you know, when you're children or teenagers. And yet it stands to reason that a franchise which is so popular has a broader appeal than just children and teenagers. So I'm interested in both your views on this. Why do people, do you think, from different demographics listen to Now compilations? And does the motivation and maybe what you take from that experience change throughout your life?
It would be interesting to go back through the contributors in your office and figure out if this holds true. But my theory is that your favourite Now album is the one that you get nearest to your 11th birthday, which is true of mine. I don't know if it's true
that
of yours.
That is also true of mine.
OK.
There we go. Ring the bell.
Because it's not actually my favourite, I have to say.
Interesting.
It's just my Now album. It's the one I got. It's the one I remember. But I don't think it's my favourite.
And I think at that age, if you are getting into music, then that's the point when you're absolutely ravenous and you'll consume everything and you'll sort of remember everything as well. I remember how all of the songs on this album go, even the ones I didn't like at the time and don't particularly like now. You just absorb everything. And obviously as you get older, music, I guess you've refined your music tastes. So by the time you're off to college or university, you've decided what you want. So maybe you think the usefulness of a Now album has passed by that point. But I suppose when you get out of that and you get into your 30s, you want to stay in touch a little bit. So there's all the different sort of phases in life where a Now album is either sort of useful or not so useful. But I guess people come back to it eventually.
Very quickly before we go, guys, I'm going to put you on the spot and we're going to do a quick quiz.
Great.
To see who knows the most about the Now That's What I Call Music series. We're going to begin by testing your buzzers. Rob, let's try yours first. Now, you've got a selection of different sounds, I think. I think you've got to pick one.
I'm going to go for...
That's quite... Is that a kind of old-school horn?
Yeah,
automobile horn. Are you happy with that? Or do you want to one more
Let's test.
Try?
No.
Jet. No? Horn?
No. Yeah,
we'll stick
happy
with
the horn.
So, Rob's going digital with his. He's got a noise box. I have an analogue... farmyard noise creator.
And you do not have a choice about what noise your buzzer makes. That's
just,
it
just comes out.
So now we've established that, let's begin. Question one, where, and this isn't a geographical location, where was the deal for the Now franchise signed? Any guesses? There we go. Peter?
Is it at the bottom of the contract on the line next to the date?
Very good. That was worth it. It was on Richard Branson's boat.
Of course it was.
Now, I think that it's reasonable to assume that you might have guessed that Richard Branson would be involved somewhere. But anyway,
yes.
Don't get excited. Moving on. Question two. Which artist has made the most appearances on the Now series? I think you got there first.
Yeah. Actually, is it Robbie?
It is. It is Robbie Williams. I'm going to give you 1 point for that. Question three, which Now was the first to be released on compact disc?
Oh, it's not.
So, Rob, you're going to guess first. Half a point for the closest answer if you don't get the full answer.
I'm going to go for Now 11.
Okay. Peter?
I think it might even be earlier than that. Maybe now. Saying Now 9?
It's Now 10.
Oh.
Which means you're equidistant. Okay, you can get half a point each. Question four. Where does the series take its name, Now That's What I Call Music, from? I really couldn't tell who came in first then. Peter, I think it was you.
It's from an ad for bacon, which was on the wall in the record label and which Richard Branson bought from a nearby antique shop because he fancied the person who ran it and ended up marrying her.
Correct. Rob, did you know that?
Yes.
It's quite a well-established founding myth, isn't it? It's good, though. Question number five. What was the first song of the first... No, you're going to have to let me finish the question. What was the first song of the first Now and the last song of the latest Now? I'm going to disregard previous buzzes.
Oh, all right.
Okay, go on, Peter.
I'm going to go for... Actually, I don't even know what...
Is he okay?
Is it Tracy Ullman, the first one? Is it They Don't Know? Anyway, I can't remember. I don't even know what the last one is. But the last track and the last one will be on the complete con of a second disc, won't it? Where they've put loads of old songs on, so it'll be an old one.
Yeah.
Rob, can you raise on that? And you better guess it. So it's the first song of the first Now and the last song of the last
Now.
Half a point for each.
First song of the first one is Phil Collins, You Can't Hurry Love.
Correct.
Tune.
The last one.
He's Canadian. It's Justin Bieber with Love Yourself.
Yeah.
Were you getting there? Or
no.
Anyway, whether or not you were. Final question, guys. Which was the most successful Now album of all time? Rob, you got in there first that time.
Now 44?
It was. So I think, guys, Rob has 3 points at the end of that. And Peter, you have 2.5. Rob, congratulations.
Oh, wow.
You've won the quiz.
I'm very pleased for you, Rob.
I may have made a significant error in counting up the points, but the referee's final decision stands. Well, that does bring us to the end of today's show. Thanks to my guests, Peter Robinson and Rob Copsey. Guy, thank you so much for joining me. Now, That's What I Call Music 100 is out for you to enjoy right now. And if you like it, there's 99 more editions where it came from. Thanks to my producer, Holly Fisher. Robert Bound will be back next week. But from me, Henry Rhys Sheridan, thanks for listening.